Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And it is great to be with you on this Friday, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Ask yourself, how does Sean get through the week on this show?
Two words. Brewers Outlet.
I thought you were going to say Steve Jones.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, that's a given. That's a no-brainer, though.
Oh, the setup was so good. All right. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar is second to none. And yes, I do love the dills. And yes, I do love the barrels. I shall see my good friend on Sunday. You're about to hear him. Last night, Iowa down 9 with 4 minutes to go. Rallied. Won at Wisconsin. Dolph. Gary Dolphin with the call on the Hawkeye Radio Network.
Hemsel gets the rebound. Bohannon for three in the lead. Good! 9.7 seconds to go in the game. The Hawkeyes have the lead by two. 59-57. Koenig stands still. Jump shot from two. No good. Rebounded by Bear. Hawks are going to win. Hawks are going to win the game. Iowa wins it. 59-57.
And you know what? They're now 9-8 in the conference. Gary Dolphin. Very few people in this business nicer than that man, and obviously a great pro. Great call by him. All right. Somebody else who falls into that category is Jeff Byers. Time to talk some wrestling. So let's bring Jeff in. Jeff, let's get right to the big story of the week that people have been wondering about, Nick Soriano. It's called a game day decision. What is the decision?
My guess would be not, Steve. He's getting treatments, and you know, he'll step on the mat for sure. That much we know with certainty. But I think they would probably like to get as much time to get the ankle as healed as they can and give him the best chance at nationals. So he has a first-round matchup with Ben Thornton of Purdue. I wouldn't expect that you'll see Nick out on the mat for anything other than that bout tomorrow.
What, just to go out, wave, and leave?
Yeah, he has to participate in a bout here to remain eligible for an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament.
Okay,
so
right.
that is pretty much...
The idea is, look, he's had a great season, but you know, we're confident he can be a wild card.
Correct, yeah. And with the new standards that they have now, this has changed over the years, and they now have the gold standard, silver standard wrestlers, and Nick is a gold standard wrestler, meaning basically so long as he participates in the tournament in whatever manner he does, he is then eligible, and Nick would almost assuredly be the first wild card taken at 125, regardless of how he does here, if he doesn't
right
place in the top nine that he needs to.
But again, he must step on the mat to at least say, okay, I'm here at the tournament, and that's it.
Correct.
What did you think about the seedings the way it turned out?
Yeah, I think it's pretty much exactly what was expected. Again, a lot of the seeding stuff has also, to wrestling's credit, been the surprise of it has been taken off of the charts, because everything's pretty formulaic now, and the pre-seeds, every now and then you'll get a change in a spot, but for the most part, we've seen now the last 3 years or so, that those seeds hold pretty much true, and that's the case again this year. And I think Penn State got exactly the seeds that their kids earned throughout the course of the season.
Jimmy Gulabon ends up being a two out of this at 141. I think the last I checked, he was 11th nationally, and he's already automatically through. He doesn't have to wrestle to start out because he gets a bye. The way he wrestled down the stretch, is Tool exactly the spot he should be in?
Yeah, and Steve, I tell you, he's just wrestling with such confidence now and such a joy about him. And I think the coaches, if you pinned them down and made them tell you that the kid they feel the best about right now, just for him, it would be Jimmy Golobon, just because it's not just that he's winning, it's that he really seems to be enjoying the entire process now. And I don't know that that's always been the case with Jimmy. He's been at times a very tough kid to read, but he really just seems to be enjoying the stretch run here of his collegiate career, and I think he's wrestling the best of his career. He won down the stretch, won everything except for that final bout, and most Penn State fans would tell you he won that one too. It just didn't get the credit for pinning Dean Hiles, the returning national champion. So I think Jimmy goes in with a ton of confidence. I do think he earned the 2 seed with the way he wrestled from the third period of that Iowa match on this season, and I think Jimmy will be a tough out for anybody at Big Tens or Nationals this year if he keeps wrestling the way he's done.
Let's talk about Mark Hall, who ends up being a number 2 seed at 174 behind Bo Jordan, who had a great year. He was 11-1 when he was out there. What is the difference in Mark Hall now compared to a month ago?
Yeah, I really think it's just confidence and comfort level with what he's doing. Mark is a very gifted athlete, just a very special kid. And I think, there was a lot going on that week of his debut. That was he kind of made the final decision that week that he would come out of red shirt. It was a long trip to Iowa. It was against a good opponent in a unique environment at Carver Hawkeye. And I just think a lot of things contributed to him maybe not looking his best, and that's taking nothing away from Alex Meyer, who certainly earned the win that night. But mm-hmm. I just think since then, Mark really has his feet under him, has a real good feel for what it is he needs to do to be successful at this level. And I think what he's been able to do is really go back into the room after each bout throughout the rest of the season here and figure some things out that work and don't work for him here at this level. And I really think Mark is much like Jimmy. I mean, both of those guys I think are capable of having really big runs here in the post.
I think Mark will win it.
I really do, Steve. I just think he wanted that shot at Bo Jordan in the dual meet and didn't get it, and there's nothing guaranteed, but obviously that's the matchup of the seeds hold that we'll see in the finals. And I just think Mark, the way he's wrestling right now, and the level that the number of different things he can do right now on the mat, I think he'll be a very tough matchup for Bo Jordan. I think it should be a heck of a final if that's in fact the matchup we see. But right now I think Mark Hall would be, in my mind, he would be the guy to beat here at the Big Ten tournament.
Jeff, which weight class, in your opinion, has greater depth than any of the others and then becomes a real dogfight, even if there's a dominant one? Even if there's a dominant one, is there going to be one weight class that's going to be a dogfight to fill out the rest of the spots?
Yeah, there's a couple, Steve, that I think, and 174 is actually one of them. When you look at the depth of the talent at that weight class, it is a really deep weight in the Big Ten. And actually, 141 to me is very similar. Anthony Ashnault has been, the guy that separated himself a bit, but there's a lot of really good kids in the Big Ten at 141. And I think if you're talking about just the upper echelon talent, I think both 184 and heavyweight to me would be the weights where there might not be the depth throughout all 10 or 14 teams here, but when you talk about those top guys, they're you know, really top guys. And 165 is the same way. Vincenzo Joseph goes in as a four seed, but it's because the top three kids in the country arguably are in front of him. Certainly two of the top three in the country are in front of him. And I think that's a weight class, too, where those top four could shake out differently here than they did during the regular season, and then shake out again differently when we get to St. Louis for the national tournament.
Yeah, that's an interesting one as well. Give me a little background for a moment on the Olympian Kyle Snyder, the way he has been, you know, the way he goes back and forth between freestyle and college. What impresses you about him?
Well, it's hard to think of something that doesn't, Steve. For a kid at his age to be as absolutely polished as he is and excel to the degree that he has, Kyle Snyder is really a very rare type of kid. We've certainly had some kids come in and dominate at the collegiate level at this stage, but he's dominating on the world stage, and I know there are some similarities, and I know a lot of it does cross over, but it is a different sport. Freestyle wrestling and folk style are two different things, and to be as dominant at both as Kyle Snyder is right now, nationally dominant in folk style and internationally dominant in freestyle, is really pretty remarkable, and I'm not sure he's getting quite the credit he's due for the seamless ability he has to go from one sport to the other, and again, just be, I mean, there's nobody that's even within spitting distance of him right now collegiately. Now, again, we'll see, there could be that one one magic moment here in the postseason, but boy, he sure seems like he has separated himself from the field and then some, and he is just so technically sound, Steve. I mean, he really is the complete package. He's technically sound. He's a very aggressive kid, and just has all of the athletic tools you'd want. Tremendously strong, tremendously quick, and very agile.
I mean, on the collegiate level, I'm not surprised. What impresses me is that a lot of people don't realize that on the Olympic level, that's an older man's sport, and he's doing it as a young man.
Yeah, no, and again, it's not just that he's winning. He is dominating in international competition. I mean, he's dominating guys that have won Olympic medals before, and he's making it look easy. He just is... It's really remarkable to watch, but you're right. Usually, your peak in freestyle wrestling is in the late 20s, at the 26 to 30 area, and Kyle seemingly has it mastered here about 5 years ahead of schedule. So it is really, really impressive what he's doing, and again, I can't think of anybody that's done it like this at this stage of their career since I've been following the sport.
Jason Nolf and Bo Nickel got right to the threshold of a national championship last year. Both ended up being denied. This year, they're both undefeated. What have you seen in maturity and approach in them as this season has gone along after what had to be certainly a disappointment last year?
Yeah, I think they've both taken their game to another level, Steve, and that's saying something. I mean, it really is. But Jason just has that same fearless, relentless mentality when he's on the mat, and he is a kid that truly does not get fazed. In fact, I think sometimes when an opponent gets a takedown on him, it helps kick him into the higher gear, because he just seems to come back and make sure that he gets three quick ones on you, so you know that was kind of a fluke thing. And for Bo, Steve, to me, Bo is just about as complete a wrestler as I've seen in terms of being able to defend any shot, and being able to get off any shot. I mean, he can beat you with a single leg or a double leg or a throw or a trip or just about any way from top, bottom, you name it. He just is very comfortable in any situation on the mat, maybe more comfortable than anybody I've seen in wrestling. And this year, he's really... I think, work to eliminate the mistakes. And it's not that he's scared of making a mistake, but, I mean, this is a kid that has not given up a takedown this season. And considering the relentless manner in which he competes, that's fairly surprising, because he's gone against some really good guys and been very aggressive and very open. And usually somewhere along the way you're going to give up a cheap takedown or two. But Bo is just has a remarkable ability to scramble and to just know where he's at on the mat. And even when it looks like he's in trouble, as we've seen a few times this year, you think, oh boy, he might be about to give up a takedown, and all of a sudden he's walking off the mat with his hand raised because he just picked up a fall. He just is just an uncanny ability to seemingly always come out on top.
Someone who has not had his hand raised in a match is Tristan Law. He's going to go at 133. Tell us a little bit about him.
Yeah, Tristan is a plugger. I mean, he was a good high school wrestler, never a state champion, never a standout. Obviously, his brother Cody had a better high school career and started out at Penn State and is having success at Pitt Johnstown. But Tristan's a very good wrestler. You know, he was having trouble making the cut down to 133, but basically just won the wrestle off with George Carpenter to get the chance here. You know, he's going to be overmatched in a lot of these matchups right now as a redshirt freshman who's really had very limited experience. I mean, just the two bouts and the dual meets is all he's competed in this year. So he'll be up against it, but he has some tools that the coaches like, and they're you know, hoping maybe he can catch somebody somewhere along the way or gut out a win or two here. And you know, if he can get into the top nine, he'll get a spot in the NCAA field in St. Louis.
Jeff, thanks so much. Look forward to the broadcast. They should be great as always.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Should be a fun weekend. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks. Jeff Byers, the voice of Nittany Lion Wrestling. We'll come back. Again, the big story there, Nick Soriano in all likelihood will not wrestle this weekend. As Jeff reported, he will walk out on the mat tomorrow. They'll declare Sorensen the winner. And then the idea is that he'll be a wild card for the NCAAs in St. Louis. We will come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet. Coming up on the bottom of the hour, but again, I thought that was the significant part there, was that Nick Soriano is in all likelihood not going to wrestle this weekend. That he'll walk out tomorrow, forfeit, but just by walking out keeps himself eligible for a wild card for the NCAAs, which he most certainly will get. But he will not go this weekend. Jeff Byers reporting that from Bloomington. So, that is the story out of that. This show makes a little news once in a while. Yeah, you get great guests on it. That's how it happens. That's how it happens when you get great guests on. And Jeff's a great guest. One of many, 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 many. Well, let's see. Suit on TV at all this weekend? Or
to the best of my knowledge, he's... I think he's got the weekend off, from what I heard.
Jeopardy something? game show contestant? No.
Not that I'm aware of.
Albright All-Stars something?
Maybe another trip to Albright.
Does the Albright campus police know?
They should.
They do now.
That's right.
If I were them, I'd tune in every day and find out what's going on.
Suit APB.
Oh, my goodness. My sports bozo of the day is going to be a twofold one. Both about the player and the team. And my brother will be on. We'll do picks. Sean, by the way, in front. Out there kicking backside, getting it done. The rest of us, look, the view is not changing for the rest of us. We are not the lead dog. That is Sean Carey.
Hey, you're only one behind, though. That can change this weekend.
Oh, believe me, you will be crushed like a grape. All right. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Water, wine coolers, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. All together now, gang. The pickle bar is second to none. Love the dills, love the barrels at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Time now for the sports bozo of the day. Derrick Rose with the Knicks says, he doesn't think he can play the triangle offense, and that if he does, it's just because he's forced to. Okay, there are two parts to this. Number one, you're the employee, so go out and make it work. Number two, the Knicks stink. Why do they get one story after another nationally? Who cares? I mean, who cares about the New York Knicks outside of Manhattan? Nobody. Anywhere. Quick show of hands, Knicks fans. Okay, a little shy. All right. Time now to bring in the seer of all seers, the sage of all sages, my brother.
Hello, brother.
How are you?
I'm doing very well. Steve LeMond says hi.
Oh, good. The old tight end on our football team. Great guy.
Great athlete.
Yeah, he was.
Big dude. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it was. We all were.
Yeah, we all were. No, yeah. No, Steve played right next to me. I played left tackle. He played left end.
Yeah, he was a good basketball player, too.
Oh, yeah, he's good at everything.
Yeah, I told him he had Peter King on the air. He got a kick out of that. So.
We refer to it when you're on as the all-infield hour. All
right. Hey, guess what's going across the street from that restaurant you guys always go to in East Windsor?
The Sophia's?
Spaghetti place.
Sophia's
right across the street. Mohegan Sun.
It's
got voted in. They're putting it where the Showcase Cinemas used to be.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, if people don't know this story, Foxwoods was putting a place in Springfield, Massachusetts.
No, MGM.
Or MGM. But don't they own... Okay, yeah, MGM's going to do it.
This is the way it goes. MGM teamed up with Foxwoods. Foxwoods, it gets real political because you have to be on Indian territory.
Right.
Okay? So MGM wanted in to Connecticut, but they wouldn't let them because they weren't an Indian tribe, and then Foxwoods invited them in. So they built an MGM on the Foxwoods property. Now, Mohegan Sun is 5 miles away from Foxwoods. They're right next to each other. Well, MGM up and decides to build a casino in Springfield, Massachusetts. So Foxwoods kicks MGM off the property. So MGM is now in, well, it's not done yet, and it's not, the same roads that were under construction when we were 5 years old in Springfield are
still under construction.
Yeah, and if they don't get the road work right, they're not going to be able to build the place. But it's the building is actually just about done. So what Connecticut wanted to do, and Mohegan Sun and Foxwoods teamed up together to put a casino on the state line, so that the people, Springfield is north of Foxwoods and Mohegan Sun right now, about 50 miles south. Mohegan Sun and Foxwoods are about 50 or 60 miles south of Springfield.
And Springfield's Springfield's 5 miles from Enfield. That's what he's trying to tell
exactly.
you.
Exactly. And they wanted to build a casino right on Route 91 so that the people in northern Connecticut wouldn't go to Springfield. They'd stay in Connecticut and not go there. So now MGM is suing. Some other Indian tribe is suing. Everybody's suing everybody. But the casino's going to go through. So I just thought you want to know that. I know the people there care less.
What's interesting, though, is that here's in politics. Enfield said no, our hometown, to it.
Oh, my God, they're a bunch of idiots. Jeez.
Right. So then East Windsor, where they're putting it is 3/4 of a mile from the Enfield line. So what's
you
the
can
difference?
Throw a rock at the Enfield from where they're putting it. So they say they don't want the riffraff. They're not going to get the riff. But now the casino's going to be there. And where they wanted to put it was the Enfield Square, which is actually the Enfield Mall. And since that time, the Enfield said no. Macy's moved out, Sears closed, and there is nothing in the square at all. They have nothing there, and that was their number one choice was the Enfield Square, because of the mall. They like to have a mall with their casino, you know. And they said no, and now they have nothing. Hallmark Cards closed. For the people who don't know, this was Hallmark Cards was their biggest distribution plant was in Enfield, Connecticut. It closed. They employed 3,000 people. So right. Enfield is hurting bad. Yeah. And they had the casino. They'd have built it there. If they get all these people, there's going to be crime. It's the safest place in town. Smile, you're on candid camera. You're on camera as soon as you drive on the property.
Everything is on a camera.
And if you don't think they have them in the bathroom, they got them in there, too. If you're a criminal, you don't want to go to a casino because they're watching you. So, anyway. This week's trivia question.
Yes.
Okay, you ready?
All set.
This is really going to test everything you got. Which of these cities has never hosted a Final Four? Chicago, San Diego, Denver, Charlotte.
Chicago.
Which player scored the most points in the NCAA tournament history for a single game?
Austin Carr at 61.
No, Carmelo Anthony.
No, Austin Carr at 61 in the NCAA tournament game.
Yeah, I know. This isn't Carmelo Anthony. You'll have to Google it and find out.
Now maybe it's a Final Four.
Oh, actually, it's both.
Or maybe it's for the total NCAA tournament. Maybe it's for the total tournament, but a single game is Austin Curry at 61 for Notre Dame.
Yeah, for a whole tournament,
yeah,
Carmelo
says. Here, which player scored the most? Austin Curry is one of the choices. Austin Carr, Kevin Durant, Bill Walton, Carmelo Anthony. And the answer is Carmelo Anthony.
It must be for the entire tournament.
That makes
all
sense.
All six
Maybe.
Games.
Yeah.
And I think it's for all six games. Single game is Austin Carr, 61. Final four is Bill Walton, 44. So it's got to be for
Carmelo
these.
Carmelo Anthony.
It has to be for the six-game run. I think the record he broke was that of Glenn Rice.
You got to look it up because this one, the Carmelo Anthony's in like three different who was the last one-and-done freshman to win the national title before going to the NBA? Carmelo Anthony. He's in another one here.
Anthony Davis won it at Kentucky as a one-and-done.
Oh, maybe I got a really bad sight here that the answers are wrong.
Yeah. I mean, I would not go to CarmeloAnthony.com.
San Diego's the only city that never hosted a Final Four.
No, that's where John Wooden won his last one in San Diego.
No, I know. No, your answers are one of the answers is Austin Carr, but they have Carmelo Anthony has scored the most points in NCAA tournament history for a single game.
No.
Carmelo.
No.
Okay.
Austin Carr at 61.
I'm going to look it up just to verify. Yeah,
okay.
Because I know Anthony didn't score 61. So.
No.
Okay. You guys are kicking my butt.
Oh, it doesn't matter. All right.
I mean, I'm trying here on the basketball, but I can't even get the trivia questions right.
So, all right.
Anyway.
So, what do we got for games?
Okay. I am 9-1 after 3 weeks. Mr. Jones, 8-2, and the CEO of Jones.
La 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 la.
I got you guys right where I want you.
Mr. Connecticut's 5-5.
All right.
Okay. All right.
I got you right where I want you, man. Okay. You wait for the tournament.
All right. I found four that we can roll with for the weekend. Three of these games are being played tomorrow. You've got Notre Dame at Louisville in the ACC, and I'm going to take Louisville.
Louisville's one of my Final Four teams. I think their defense and enough offense. And I saw Notre Dame play in person this year, and I really liked them, but I just think Louisville's better, especially at home.
I took Louisville.
There's four games.
By the toe. Yeah, I'll take Louisville. I think they're very good.
Okay. Also tomorrow, we've got Miami at Florida State, as we stay in the ACC. And I'm going to go with Miami.
Miami and Florida State. I got to give Miami credit. They played well at home, picked up a big win on the road, but Florida State wins this game. I think they'll win by 7.
I got Florida State. You know if Sean gets this, he's going to sink us. So okay.
He's not going to get it. Yeah. Florida State's better. Especially at home. Have some confidence.
Auburn's horrible.
Ole Miss will beat them.
55-6. Okay.
It was like being the little Dutch boy watching the water pour out.
They are a flawed football team. Touchdown.
How did I know they'd overcome their flaws in 3 hours?
All right, we got prime time tomorrow night. They're going to renew the rivalry on Tobacco Road, Duke at Carolina. And I kind of waffled back and forth on this. I'm going to go with home court. I'll take the Tar Heels. But I only took that on the premonition that Duke could be without two starters tomorrow night, but I'm pretty much thinking for sure Grayson Allen's going to play.
I was really, really impressed with the 43 North Carolina put up at Virginia. Oh.
See, they're going to have a chip on their shoulder just due to that. Just got to bounce.
But at home, where they have their last two home games have been wins over Virginia and Louisville, it'll be North Carolina that wins that win by 6.
And I was thinking, oh, yeah, they got it in the bag. It's senior night. No problem. But then look what happened to Wisconsin last night.
Wisconsin's not playing well. I was not surprised by that.
They only play well when I pick them to lose.
You know what, Kev? Down the stretch, Wisconsin has not played well. They're not scoring, and the free throw line is killing them.
They had a chance
to put the game away last night. They were 5 of 14 at the free throw line, blew a 9-point lead with 4 minutes to go.
That'll keep a coach up all night.
Yep.
Oh, man. You did everything right, and you didn't get the ball in the hole.
Yep.
Oh. I got Duke.
Duke.
I like Duke. I like Krzyzewski. So I'll take Duke.
And we added this one to the list. At first, we were only going to pick three games, but we started to kick this one around yesterday. This will be a 4:30 game on Sunday, nationwide game on CBS. We've got Purdue heading to Welsh Ryan, taking on Northwestern. And I'm going to go with the Wildcats.
Northwestern is interesting. As you know, Dick and I talk with Doug Collins, Chris's dad, and he's saying the difference between Penn State and Northwestern right now is that his team's all juniors, and Penn State is freshmen. I think Purdue, in a close game, wins it. Even on the road. Purdue.
I got Purdue. And I don't have a reason.
No reason at all.
Well, now they're ranked. You know, I don't know enough about it to just. I don't want to just read about it and come up with a bogus answer. I don't know a lot about either one of them.
I think Derek Pardon will play Swanigan well. Pardon is a good player. The NBA is looking at him. An advantage that there's no question that Northwestern has on Purdue is a point guard. If McIntosh is Purdue's point guard, Purdue is an Elite Eight team battling for the Final Four. Purdue's point guard play is not elite standard. Every other part of their basketball team is, except that.
They've got a very good program. They've always been good.
Matt's a good guy. Painter is actually a really good guy. I really, actually, over the years, I just really like him.
Mm. What do you think of Gonzaga?
Like them a lot. They're at least an Elite Eight team.
Yeah.
That can battle for the Final Four. I like the big kid inside. The three transfers have all panned out the way that Mark Few hoped they would.
He's a good basketball coach.
He is.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's had offers to leave, and he wants to stay there. He's good.
You want to know why?
Good man.
You got to be smart enough to know where you like someplace,
mm-hmm.
whether you can make some money there, and can I get to where I want to go where I am?
Right.
Gonzaga's
a fun team to watch.
Gonzaga's good enough to get to the Final Four, which means he doesn't need to go to a Power 5 conference to get to the Final Four because he's already got a program that's good enough.
Right. Hey.
There you go.
They're these two old guys, right? So they're 90 years old. They've been friends forever, okay? They lived to their early 90s, and one of them suddenly gets sick. So the other guy goes over to visit him. And he says to him, will you do me one favor? And the old guy dying says, sure, whatever. He goes, when you get to heaven, will you let me know if there's baseball in heaven? Somehow send me a message. He goes, sure, we've been friends forever. I'll do that for you. A couple weeks goes by, and the living guy is sleeping, and he's awakened by a voice. It's his friend. He says, oh, my God. He goes, I got good news and I got bad news. He goes, well, what's the good news? There is baseball in heaven. He goes, I knew it. He goes, oh, God, what's the bad news? You're pitching Wednesday night. like that.
It's official. It's official. We've started a Friday tradition unlike any other.
Yes, we have. I'll tell you, McGranahan doesn't tell those jokes, I'm telling you.
Kumbaya.
Yeah. All right. We'll wrap it up in a moment. Thanks, Kev.
Thanks, guys. Have a good weekend.
You too.
You too.
Bye.
On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket, Brewer's Outlet in Sunbury.
Okay, wrapping up for today. Great to have you with us on the show, and we'll be back on Monday with much more. Tuesday we'll have the show, but Wednesday, in all likelihood, the basketball game is going to be in this time slot. That's the way it's looking right now. It's looking like Penn State will be in the game, possibly with Indiana, possibly with a 4 o'clock air time. So that's what we're looking at for Wednesday. And if Penn State wins, they'd be in the same time slot again on Thursday. What a week. Had a lot of fun this week. Hope you enjoyed it as much as we did.
Miss any of it, catch up, go to the podcast page, stevejonesshow.com. Check it out.
Yeah, and listen to all of it. You may make the mistake of hearing that La La Land won, then go to sleep.
Kevin's jokes are funnier on the replay.
That's what he says.
Yep.
All right. Today's show brought to you by Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Your home for the Phillies, News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com. This is WKOK Sunbury.